It's time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Grateful to have you with us this Thursday, October 5th, 2023. As Chad Erickson told you, I am Jason Page. Sam Yarnell coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll break down what happened in the sweeps, as it may be, the wild card round of the MLB postseason. We'll also get into the NFL stuff, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Thursday night NFL preview, all of that coming up on the pod today. But I wanted to talk some baseball. And I thought it best to bring in our good friend Bob Nightingale, who joins us on the show, to break down what happened in this opening round of the postseason. And Bob, look, I mean, you were in Minneapolis yesterday. At what point does this Blue Jays franchise have to change course? They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. They've been swept in the wild card round three of the last 4 years. Where's the disconnect between what this franchise should be and what it actually is?
Well, they're certainly underachieving. I mean, you can argue they have the best talent in the AL East. I thought they'd win the AL East this year. So, you know, they're knocking on the door, but they should be a better team than this. You know, the offense has disappeared the last, you know, few times they've been the postseason. You know, seven straight postseason losses now. But something's not right. You know, I don't know what the solution is, but, you know, you're making some bonehead plays. And when Vladimir Guerrero gets picked off there, you know, inexcusable. And, you know, when you have a game plan set up like Tampa Bay did in the World Series in 2020, you're going to pull, you know, Berrios out and you had someone warming up in the second inning. It's like, you know, you just pay this guy over $100 million and you're really using an opener, you know, using him as an opener. So, you know, they didn't try that with anybody else. I think somebody else would have, you know, kill somebody on the staff. Like, you know, what do you mean I'm only going to go, you know, 47 pitches? So, yeah, no, they're going to take a hard look themselves, knowing, you know what, you only got Vlad Guerrero for 2 more years. Let's see what happens.
ESPN tried to make it sound, listening to their broadcast, they almost tried to make it sound like that this decision had already been made from the top. It was coming from above. That John Schneider had no say. Is culpability removed from him in that situation, or is he to blame?
No, I agree with ESPN. These things are orchestrated so much by front offices now. You know, same thing with Kevin Cash, and that was a game plan with Blake Snell. He was just executing it. You know, how many times have, you know, Dave Roberts, you know, taken a beating for, you know, taking guys out like Rich Hill and stuff was orchestrated by the front office. So we're seeing that more and more, Jason.
Well, managers, they're not even managers anymore. They're just babysitters. And essentially given instructions, yeah, right. Given instructions on what to do. Focus to the Minnesota side of this. Royce Lewis obviously had a big game one, which sort of springboarded them throughout the rest of this series. Sonny Gray was great yesterday. All I could think about is how he was with the Yankees for 5 minutes and couldn't pitch, and they shipped him off to Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken. Talk a little bit about this Minnesota team finally getting over the hump after, what, 21 years?
Yeah, I mean, you know, finally broke an 18-game losing streak, which is you know, a record in North American sports in game one, and then, you know, win their first postseason series since 2002, you know, back in the days of Torrey Hunter, LaTorre Hawkins, Eddie Gordado, those guys. So, yeah, they got some confidence rolling in, you know, in Houston. They'll be able to, you know, set up their starting rotation nicely. Houston's got to start winning some home games. And they were 39-42 with the at home this year, despite, you know, great crowds, great support. They ended the regular season getting swept at home by the Royals of all teams. So it should be interesting. But, yeah, the Twins are pitching well.
Rays go out in two straight, Bob. Are you surprised to see the Rangers through to the next round?
I am. I thought they were set up. You know, looked like Texas, you know, when they got beat up by Seattle there. It's like, oh, my God, instead of having a week off at home, now they go from Seattle to Tampa, where Tampa's been sitting around. So I think, you know, that was maybe the biggest tease we've seen in baseball history, certainly in recent time. I mean, how many times they look great going the postseason, and do absolutely nothing. You know, kind of reminds you of the those Oakland A's teams when, you know, they were so great in the regular season. So I know they were banged up. I know they had a lot of Tommy John surgeries. And, of course, a Wander Franco situation. But, you know, they were heavily favored to beat the Rangers, and they didn't really show up.
Is this where the smoke and mirrors of being able to win with a low payroll, is this where it starts to, the rubber meets the road, so to speak? I mean, this is five straight years for the Rays in the playoffs and no World Series to show for it. Or are they just content being that low, you know, that sort of low payroll team that can make the playoffs and be relevant every year?
No, I don't think they're content by that. I really don't. I don't think it's like Seattle where Jerry DePoto came out and said, okay, you know, we're good doing this.
I saw that.
It's an ugly look. Yeah, terrible. And hey, the Rays were, I was talking to Angels people, if they had traded Ohtani, the Rays right there on top of the list, they were going to give away, you know, several of their top prospects to go get them. So, you know, they're, you know, they remember they were in on Freddie Freeman, you know, they try to make the big move, just haven't been able to. So, no, I think they're as disappointed as the fans are.
I just wonder how you interweave all those things together with a team that's made the playoffs 5 years in a row with no payroll, but no rings to show for it. You know, at the end of the day, where does the change, again, much like we were asking with the Blue Jays, where is the disconnect between, yes, we're a playoff team every year, but we're not a World Series contender?
Particularly in division. I mean, it's one thing to, for the Rays to, you know, be a power in that division with that size payroll. You know, hopefully we get a new ballpark. You'll say, okay, we'll spend some money. Although when you saw the crowds for the first two games of the playoffs, you wonder, hey, are you really building your new ballpark at the same site, you know, just across the street? You know, it's already showing it's not working. We'll see if that makes a difference. I think they should go across, you know, to Tampa, you know, the other side of the bridge. So I just wonder if this is going to make a difference or not.
Bob Nightingale hanging out with us, USA Today senior MLB writer. Give me a thought on the Diamondbacks going into Milwaukee and sweeping the Brewers. And again, Milwaukee's much like these teams that we're talking about with the Rays and the Jays, you know, team that makes the playoffs, it feels like every year, but still is unable to reach the expectations that are probably set by fans and media in that market. Your thoughts on the Diamondbacks going into Milwaukee and doing what they did?
You know, I think the NL Central just shows how weak it was. And, you know, I saw this stat I think it tweeted out yesterday was that since the Cardinals won a series in 2019, NL Central is 2-20 in postseason play.
Wow.
So, you know, they get exposed playoff time. In this case, I think when Brandon Woodruff went down, that was a huge blow. I mean, he was pitching as well as Corbin Burns. And once Burns lost the opener, it's like, they, you know, they were done. Diamondbacks, you know, it's strange. And they limped into the playoffs, just 84 wins. They got swept by the Astros at the end of the season when they were trying to win games. Their offense had just disappeared. But they played, you know, got the timely hits. They do have two great pitchers, Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen. And, you know, the bullpen stepped up. We'll see. I think they'll give the Dodgers a better showing than people think. I don't think the Dodgers are nearly as powerful as they have been in the past. So I think they'll make it interesting. I still think the Dodgers should win the division. I mean, should win the playoff.
Yeah, all the pressure's on the Dodgers, though. I mean, Arizona's playing with house money. They're easily a year ahead of schedule. They've still got more prospects to come, much like the Orioles. You know, they've got more prospects to come. It feels like all the pressure in that series is on L.A.
Oh, it is. I mean, in L.A. has trounced the Diamondbacks for years. They've never thought much of them. You know, this year, Diamondbacks played them tough. The Diamondbacks actually beat them up early until the Dodgers came on toward the end of the season. I think they ended up winning 8 of the 13 games. But, you know, as you see, Jason, I mean, the Diamondbacks are an exciting team. They got in first base. Actually, you know, they're on second or third. They're just still at second base, still at third base. And then outfield, fabulous defense. That ball stays in the air. They're going to track it down. So it should be an interesting series. Because the Dodgers, you know, the pitching what scares you. I mean, Kershaw's not the same Kershaw of old. Then there's a lot of kids in there.
Phillies beat the Marlins, as I think we thought they would. They get the Braves in what should be, I think, the most entertaining series. Maybe the Orioles and Rangers might have something to say about it as well. But I think this Braves-Phillies series is going to be really entertaining in the divisional round. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this will be the best series of entire postseason, including the World Series.
Wow.
I remember what happened last year. Phillies pitching is just, so-so. Nolan Wheeler pitched very well, going down the in the postseason. Wheeler's had an unbelievable year all year. Atlanta kind of worries you. I mean, outside Strider, Max Fried has been the, he's been out for 2 weeks in the, Charlie Morton's going to be out the first round. So it should be a real slugfest. I think it'd be a fun series.
Who do you like with the Orioles and Rangers?
I think I like the Rangers. I think it will be a good series. The only reason I say that is Texas got the experience. Texas is coming off a great series. Baltimore just hasn't been there. So many young kids have been sitting around for a week, so they don't have any momentum going. So I like the Texas. Both great managers, but Bochy's been there, done that. I texted Chris Young, their GM, last night. I said, "You got Mr. October. Mr. October manager is Bruce Bochy."
Finally, Astros Twins. Where are you going there?
I got to go Astros. I think Twins would be doing a better battle than people think. But now they're resting. Now you got Framber Valdez. You got Justin Verlander. You got JP France going. A rest of bullpen. And those guys know how to win October. This is their time of year. So I got to go with the Astros.
Yeah. If there's a team where I think the rest thing matters the least, I think it's Houston, because they've been in this position so many times before. Bob Nightingale of USA Today. Check out his work, senior MLB writer. Always good to catch up with you, my friend. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Jason.
It's Bob Nightingale hanging out with us on the show. All right, so we will come back, get to our friend Sam Yarnell, see what he made of the baseball postseason, wild card round, NFL conversation still to come as well. Don't go anywhere, we got a lot more to do. On this Thursday edition of the show, thanks to Bob Nightingale for hanging out with us, USA Today senior MLB writer, giving us the professional take on baseball, as opposed to us amateurs who just yammer on about it. Now, you know what? I'm going to give us more credit than that. We know what we're talking about. Sam Yarnell is with us, as always, on the show today. Four sweeps in the wild card round. So you got a 2-day layoff now, no baseball today. They don't want to go up against NFL tonight anyway, even if it is the Commanders and Bears. And no baseball on Friday.
You know what's funny, Jason? I picked every series in the wild card wrong. And they were all sweeps against how I picked them. Wow. Who listens to me when I'm picking sports? My goodness.
I don't know what to make of it. The Twins bats woke up. Royce Lewis had a huge game one. And it almost felt like that Twins Blue Jays series ended with game one. And, I mean, look, we got to say this about Toronto. Every year we get into these conversations after a season starts, who performs, who underperforms, who overperforms, all of that. You got to start thinking if you're the Toronto franchise, all right, something's not connecting here. We have a ton of talented players. Bichette, Vladdy Jr. You know, we go and get Berrios. Every year it feels like something short circuits with this team. They fire managers. They've tried all these different things. And who knows, John Schneider might be out of a job himself with the move he made in game two, pulling Jose Berrios in the fourth inning of this game after a walk. After a walk, he pulls Berrios. And now you're in a situation where you go to your bullpen too early. And, you know, say it. I can't stand. I think it was Michael Kay and A-Rod were doing that game, if I'm not mistaken. I can't stand Michael Kay, but I think he's 100% right. It felt to me like Schneider was just looking for a reason. He's like, give me a reason. Give me a reason. He wanted to take Berrios out of that game, and I don't know why he was pitching so well.
Yeah, you think about it, and I think the most interesting thing to think about, right, is say the Blue Jays come back and win that game, right? And they do, you know, Schneider pulls him, they take Berrios out, they go to the bullpen there. You're using so many innings out of your bullpen heading into a winner-go-home game three. I get it was a winner-go-home game two, but you've got to at least think, you know, a game in the future when you've got a starter going so well, you can't pull him after a walk. Yeah, it was mind-boggling. It was like John Schneider, you know, managed his way onto the hot seat, right? Because I don't think any of us thought of him as a hot seat manager going into this offseason necessarily. I'm sure there were some Toronto fans that did, but I don't think the majority of us thought of him as a hot seat manager going into this offseason. He definitely is now.
Buck Showalter?
No, no, no.
Is Buck going to retire? I don't think so.
He better.
I don't know.
For the good of the game.
Why don't you like Buck? What do you have against Buck? What do you have against Buck?
He managed the arch rival of my favorite team for my entire childhood.
Take your personal grievance out of it.
Right, and then you can just look at the Mets the last 2 years.
Well, last year they were a 100-win baseball team. He didn't go from being a great manager last year, manager of the year, to being a sucky manager this year.
He wasn't brought in to manage them during the regular season, Jason. He was brought in to manage them during the postseason. What'd he do? Absolutely crapped
every
the bed.
Every one of his teams come up just a little bit short every year. It's amazing. Uncanny.
It's weird.
But you could say the same, Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker was the same way forever. I mean, Dusty Baker, but again, it took forever and a day for him to finally get his World Series ring. Now he has one and we all regale, you know, Dusty Baker. Maybe it's just Buck hasn't gotten the right team. You feel like at some point he's going to land somewhere where he's going to get his ring. And then, you know, the Hall of Fame one day.
He's too old. The game has passed him by.
I don't feel like that with him.
Because here's the difference, right? Dusty Baker openly and admittedly, since he was in Washington, as a matter of fact, has said, you know, he is there to do what he can, but he believes that baseball is an evolving game and he listens to people who are of new knowledge, right? The analytics folks. He's all about that. That's why he ended up in Houston. Showalter's not the same way. Showalter plays old baseball.
Yes, and I'm fine. Good. I'm happy with that. He probably would not have pulled Jose Berrios out of that game yesterday.
You don't win a World Series with that, though. Because at the end of the day, the Blue Jays with John Schneider this year weren't a real World Series contender. Were they? No, they weren't. No.
Speaking of, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say their best case scenario was an ALCS loss. You know, like realistically, that was their best case scenario, an ALCS loss. Yeah, like that's about as good as Buck Showalter's ever going to give you. He's not a championship contending manager, just like Dusty Baker wasn't until he started to trust the people.
He wasn't until he was. I'm sorry. I just think managers get too much credit, too much blame. I think a lot of it's overrated, you know? I really do. I think a lot of it's overrated. I think a lot of it truly is. I mean, you hear the term manager, and it's so apropos in baseball because that's what you're doing. You're just managing. You're not coaching per se. You're managing. Most Major League Baseball players. That's why hitting coaches get fired. And I go, we fire the Yankees, fire, you know, their hitting coach Lawson during the season. I'm like, come on. It's like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I mean, come on. It does nothing. I'm going to fire a pitching coach. Yeah, because the pitcher does, by the time the pitcher gets to the major leagues, he has no idea what he's doing. He needs a pitching coach to tell him what he's doing. Well, your arm slot's off a little bit. Oh, thanks. Come on. I don't buy it. Well, I think Buck's gonna land somewhere. I'll be curious to see where. I don't think he's done by any stretch. And look, I don't know if it's the Blue Jays. I'm just throwing it out there, seeing if it sticks, but Blue Jays got to figure out something at this point because something is not connecting here. They're as talented. That organization right now is as talented as it has ever been. Even World Series years brought into the equation or World Series year brought into the equation. Joe Carter. I mean, this is a really talented team and it can't get over the hump. And they got to figure out why. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I would just say on the position coach note, especially at the major league level, it's not about coaching. It's all about team philosophy, right? And when you get into the higher levels of baseball, that's what coaching really is. It's team philosophy, and managers is different, right? Because that's strategy more than it is philosophy. But when you talk about major league hitting and pitching coaches, I actually disagree. I think you can change a lot with the changing of a pitching coach specifically, because, you know, pitching coaches change how pitchers break down film, how you go after certain types of hitters, right? Older pitching coaches have different philosophies than newer pitching coaches.
Outside of Leo Mazzoni,
in that regard.
Outside of Leo Mazzoni, I never met or heard of a pitching coach that meant a damn. I really haven't. Or haven't
Mike
met
Maddox. Mike Maddox managed Mike Maddox, first of all, Greg Maddox's brother. Second of all, he's managed like I think four World Series winning pitching staffs, including a pitching staff that he managed that didn't win the World Series when the Nationals had Strasburg, Scherzer. Oh, who else was on that staff? They had another guy who was like top 15 in Cy Young voting. But Mike Maddox is one of those guys who's a really good pitching coach. You know, there are a few out there. There aren't a lot. There aren't anywhere near as many as managers and hitting coaches. Obviously, a lot less. You know, everyday names.
Hey,
but
speaking of teams that are overrated and can't get over the hump. The Rays.
Oof.
I mean, both
talking
them
about coaching.
Both they and the Blue Jays, neither team could hit. Neither team could do anything offensively in these two game wild cards here. And look, let this also be a reminder, while, you know, it's great that baseball has expanded postseason play and added all these extra spots and made it much more interesting coming down the stretch that you have these teams that have an opportunity to get in. Make no mistake about it. You don't want to be let the lesson be. You do not want to be a wild card team. Because whether you're at home or on the road, especially if you're a team like Tampa Bay and you're playing in front of 20,000 people in a postseason game, and they're like, well, they're 5,000 short of a sellout. Well, yeah, because they tarp off the upper deck. That place seats like 35,000, 36,000, but they tarp off the upper deck so that they could say, oh, a sellout's like 25,000 in Tampa Bay. I mean, my God. You look at, you know, the disadvantage that comes with being a wild card team, whether you're the home team or not. And this is why I still love what baseball has done with this, is that it still puts a premium on winning your division. You know, it still means something in a big way. There's a huge disadvantage to being a wild card team. It's a crapshoot. It's like a hot goaltender in hockey. You know, the Florida Panthers last year were on the verge of going home against the Boston Bruins. And all of a sudden they get hot, you know, they get hot play at the goalie spot. In baseball, all of a sudden, you know, pitchers can get hot. A couple of bats get hot. Look at the Rangers, what they were able to do against the Rays. And all of a sudden you're home after 162 games plus two. You're home. Your season's over just like that.
Yeah, I will say on the subject of the expanded playoff and how it affects baseball as a sport, right? this wild card round was great for the sport of baseball. We had 1-6-3 upset and 1-5-4 upset, and then 1-6-3 non-upset and 1-5-4 non-upset. Like, that is about as good as you could draw it up if you're the Major League Baseball competition committee, right? Listen, these series. So I'm still out on the wild, on the expanded wild card. That said, I think it's great for the game of baseball, but old geezer me, old get off my lawn Sam Yarnell, I kind of miss the old format where it was just, you know, because and here's exactly why: it gave the best team in the league, it automatically gave them the easiest first round, which I think is earned, right? You have a 109 game winner. You shouldn't be having to play a 5 seed or a 4 seed. You should be getting guaranteed playing the 5 seed, right? And the two should play the 3, and or the 1 and plays the 4. Just like any wild card used to be. What was the last year we had the regular wild card? Was it 2020?
You're asking me. I can barely remember what I had for breakfast yesterday.
It was 2019. So if we go back to that format, then the wild card winner would play the best divisional team, right? And then the other two divisions would play. And I just think that that's better because, you know, you think about the wild card, right? And especially in a day and age of divisions really having two really good teams. It would lead to some really good matchups. I didn't break down what it would be like if we were in the old playoff format this year, but I think that it would mean that the Twins would have a 5-game series against the Orioles. Now, that's not a great series in terms of markets, right? But I'm locked in for all 5 games of that series with a trip to the ALCS on the line. That'd be a great series to me. Rangers Orioles doesn't quite do it as much for me, especially with the Rangers not having Max Scherzer, but that's neither here nor there. Should they not?
Outside chance they get him late in the series. Potentially. There's talk. He could potentially get back for the end of the series. He's pushing hard.
So this is an interesting thing for us to talk about, right? Because that would require the Rangers to put him on the series roster at the beginning of the series, and then risk, you know, so what? You have 6 starting pitchers on the series roster, and then you throw one of them in the bullpen if he can play. That becomes very tricky in terms of roster spots, which is why I never trust those reports where it's like, oh, but he may come back late in the series. People don't remember. You have to submit a lineup.
Yeah, I know.
Or I'm sorry, a roster at the beginning of the series. You can't just willy-nilly change it without a major injury.
I worry about the time off for the Orioles. We'll see what happens. They have 5 days off. Twins-Astros is the other series. All 4 series kick off on Saturday, by the way. Twins-Astros. Look, everybody's going to poo-poo the Twins' chances. I don't know what the odds are. I haven't looked at them yet. Matter of fact, I'll pull up the series prices on it right now real quick. Twins-Astros right now, Houston minus 160, I believe, for game 1. Of that series. Phillies Braves is your other series. That should be a very enthralling series, I believe. Diamondbacks Dodgers. Man, say this about Arizona. Showed some moxie. I was impressed with what I saw out of the Diamondbacks. You know, on the road in Milwaukee to win both of those games after kind of stumbling through the second half of the Major League Baseball season. And look, all the pressure in the world is on the Dodgers in that series. All the pressure in the world is on the Dodgers. Divisional series prices. All right, I got them. Orioles Rangers. Wow, minus one. It's dead even. Minus 110. It's a pick 'em. Astros minus 150. Twins plus 122. Braves minus 184, Phillies plus 148, and the Dodgers Diamondbacks is the biggest spread. Dodgers minus 200, Diamondbacks plus 160.
Got a parlay cooked up already. Astros, Dodgers, both to win the series, win the divisional series.
One of them's
going to
lose.
Plus 150. No, give it to me, baby.
Oh, you're just setting yourself up to lose. Parlay to lose. No. Parlay to lose, man. That's not going to happen. I would pick against that all day. I would love to be the book that takes that bet. I would be happy to take your money.
If you want to pick against that, it's plus, it's almost 5-1. So Twins Diamondbacks parlay plus 477.
I just think one of them's going to, I'm saying one of those teams will not come out of the divisional round. And it would never shock me. Never shock me if it's the Dodgers. It would never shock me if the Dodgers didn't come out. Like I said, Diamondbacks are playing with house money. They're a year ahead of schedule. The some of the best prospects for that franchise aren't even there yet. I mean, they're a lot like the Orioles in that they were so bad for so long that Arizona is going to be really good when the rest of those prospects get there. Jordan Lawler, who's really talented. Braves-Phillies feels like a much closer series than the odds makers are making it to be, too. Again, all the pressure on Atlanta. All the and you know, Baltimore, I actually don't view them that way, even though they won 100 games and won the AL East. I don't think they have the pressure because, again, it's a team that's ahead of schedule. And this is the first of what's going to be many good years for this franchise. They're in a great position. I think the Orioles win that series. I'll reluctantly take the Astros. Minnesota's playing really well right now, and they've been playing, as opposed to the Astros who've been sitting around for the last 5 days. Braves-Phillies, I'll reluctantly take the Braves, and I think the Diamondbacks are going to upset the Dodgers. That's my pick, and I'm sticking with it. That's what we got. You heard the parlay pick from Sam Yarnell. If you lose the mortgage, you can blame him. Wouldn't be the first
gamble time. Responsibly. Don't put the mortgage up.
Yeah, that's true. All right, stick around. I got to get to some NFL stuff before we send Sam on his way. We'll do that as we continue with the Sports Wrap. Sports Wrap continues on this Thursday. Hanging out with Sammy Arnell. All right, Sam. Travis Kelce says he thinks the... And Jason Kelce says he thinks the NFL's overdoing this whole thing between Taylor Swift and... I've been screaming this. It's the Nickelback effect. I say it all the time. This is the Nickelback effect. You... play something, at first something comes out, it's really good, people enjoy it, people get excited by it, and then you shove it down our throats over and over and over again until we hate it. It happens all the time. It's the Nickelback effect. Everybody loved Nickelback when they first came out. They were edgy, they were fun, the music, the lyrics, all that stuff. Then they were literally on every radio station, every other song, and people hated them. They get booed coming out to sing the national anthem. People are writing petitions to have them deported. I mean, everything you could possibly imagine. It's the same thing. The Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift thing, it was cute. It's now run its course. Everybody's tired of it. We don't want to see cutaways to Taylor Swift every time Travis Kelce, and even when Travis Kelce isn't even on the field, we're getting cutaways of Taylor Swift. We're getting song lyrics. We're tired of it. And I'll guarantee you, Travis Kelce is probably getting hate mail. He's probably getting hate tweets. He's getting all this hatred just because he decided to try and, you know, shoot his shot with Taylor Swift. And he's tired of it, and I don't blame him. And you know what? The NFL is shameful. They will try to make money on anything.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't know how this ends. That's my thing. It's been my thing since the beginning.
And it ends with her writing a song about him after they break up.
Right. Right. Me being the anxious person I am, I always think about how these kinds of things end. But also, like, separate thing, and this is just general, like human beings in general, PSA to you as a human out there watching, like, let's just let people do their thing, man. Like, we don't need to paparazzi and stuff, like people recording them walking through a hallway in the stadium. And then going and like living off the virality of it. Like, come on, let's let people live their lives. Not saying that I would ever be anywhere near as known as Travis Kelce, but like if I started dating someone like that, it's the last thing I would want, man. It's like, just let me do my thing. And like, there will be times that they will want to be seen in public. And at that, at those points, like, do your thing, take all the pictures, ask all the questions you want. But, and I guess this goes to like the Swifties getting into this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's a general thing. Like, just let people live their lives. Like, we don't need to live vicariously through the actions of others and things like that. It's a non-starter for me. You know what I mean? Like the whole, it was cool to make jokes about it. I thought for like an hour of when Sleeper, the popular fantasy app, they changed Travis Kelce's profile picture to Taylor Swift. Thought that was cool for like an hour. And then after like an hour, it was like, all right, dude. Yeah. Like, cool. Sunday Night Football playing a bunch of Taylor Swift songs going to break. Like, at the end of the day, we don't do this when, you know, we didn't do this with Russ, right? And isn't his wife a famous singer or something like
Ciara.
That? We
Ciara.
We don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I listen to music regularly, as you can tell.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, we didn't do this with Russ. Speaking of which, another thing we should get to, did you see Marshawn Lynch's comments to Club Shay Shay on Russ?
No.
Absolutely insane. We'll have to break that down. We'll have to break that down on the show tomorrow.
Okay.
I'll send it to you tonight. We'll break down on the show tomorrow. It was insane. I hate Russell Wilson now. I love you, Marshawn Lynch. Former Bill.
You were one of the few people that still liked Russell Wilson then, because I don't think anybody likes Russ.
Yeah, that's true. Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah.
To the Travis Kelce thing, let's just leave him alone. FanDuel, we don't need to make prop bets of Travis Kelce to record a reception of 22 plus yards. Oh, or like, they had a whole page of Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce prop bets. We don't need it. Let's let people live their lives. Travis, I hope you enjoy, you know, your time with her.
15 minutes, baby.
Are happy together. I hope it works out between the two of you. I'd love an invite to the wedding. But yeah, like, let's just let them live their lives.
Would you really want to go to that wedding though? You wouldn't know anybody
so
there.
Badly.
You wouldn't know
so
any,
badly.
You wouldn't know anybody
doesn't
there.
Matter.
Nobody would know you. You'd be that awkward
doesn't
nerd
matter.
Standing near the punch bowl that doesn't want to dance.
No, nah.
That would be you.
Nope. I'd be cool. People would be friends with me by the time I left.
Thursday
What's
night football.
Your name? Oh, Ciara. Very nice to meet you.
Ciara. How do you spell that? Thursday night football.
What do you do again?
Yeah. Bears Commanders tonight. Commanders minus -6. That feels low to me. That feels like a trap. If this were Admiral Akbar on Star Wars, it's a trap. It feels like a trap to me. Am I missing something?
Yeah, you must be missing something. It's the easiest bet of the season. Well, actually, I take that back.
You
easiest
just
bet
sunk
of the season.
You just sunk this thing.
No. Easiest bet of the season, quadruple unit Mega Max.
Oh!
Under 44.5 in this game. How does this game score 45 points? No way on planet Earth, not even on Mars, should this game
that.
Get to 45 points. This game's going under. Put everything on it. Go to the bank. Take out 3 mortgages. Put them all on this under tonight.
No, you're scaring me. You're scaring me. When anybody is that adamant about anything, I just run the other way. It's like when my husband says to me, hey, will you take out the trash? It means I'm not taking out the trash for at least 6 hours because you asked me to take out the trash. I will take it out on my own. when I have Sam literally Yarnell screaming at me to run and more take my car payment, because I don't have a mortgage right now. Take my, well, we do have a mortgage. It's in Singapore.
Go get a mortgage. No. And just put it on this bet.
What are the passing totals tonight? Justin Fields, 189 and a half. See,
rat,
I think I'd
that's
go
a rat line.
That feels like an over bet to me.
Yeah.
Especially if they're playing from behind. That feels like an over bet to me. What do we got for rushing yards for Fields? Only 46 and a half. But that see? That's another one. That's another one to me. That feels low.
I would like to publicly announce that we are in for 4 units on the under. It is the quadruple unit mega max play of the week.
I'm recording this, as you know, because people can watch the show anytime on any of our viewing platforms, Twitch, X, Facebook, YouTube. We're going to play this. I'm going to do something tomorrow to you. I'm going to do something to you tomorrow that I don't ever do. I'm going to play back your own words. Just be ready for it. It's not going to be pleasant. Not going to be
this
pleasant.
Game is somehow,
Jerry in Louisville, Texas. Jerry in Louisville, Texas is loves to take our bets, and he's gonna. The only one I'll give out tonight is I'll give you Justin Fields 189 and a half. Take the over because the line Jerry, scares the bejesus out of me.
Jerry, it's the Prince. Listen, it's the Commanders. Lay the 6. Go with the under. We're riding with the under tonight, Jerry. Everyone, we're riding with the under. It's always the under in this game. If you like Jason's prop, let's parlay Justin Fields over passing yards and the Commanders minus 6. That's going to give you a juicy number because you're inverting the system.
By the way, I agree with you that if I were going to make a bet, if somebody forced me to make a bet on the line in this game, I would take it. It just feels low to me. When I see something like that, it makes me skeptical. Makes me suspicious.
You mean the total feels
no,
low?
No, the minus 6.
Oh.
Minus 6 just feels very suspicious to me.
So I think that it's so my just initial read on the lines of this game, mm-hmm. right? When I was opening my book and expecting to, first of all, see a number in the 30s for the total. I thought we were going to get a 38, 39 and a half. These are two offenses that just have not proven themselves to be able to do a lot so far this season. Now, I think the spread is kind of speaking towards that, right? Because the only way the Commanders win this game by 6, or the only way the Bears, keep it within 6 is a low scoring game. Is if everyone's running the air out of the ball, there's not a lot of movement down the field and time just gets eaten away. That's why I love the under in this game, because it feels like it's about a touchdown higher than it should be. I like the Commanders off the strength that their defense is just going to eat Justin Fields alive tonight. That defensive front for Washington may be better than any defensive front that the Bears have faced this season. It might be even better than the Chiefs with Chris Jones. Like, I really like that front four for Washington, and I think they're going to get to the quarterback tonight. You know, another play, and I don't even know, there may only be certain states where you can bet this. Definitely go defensive props. By the way, it's plus 213 if you parlay the Manders minus 6 with Justin Fields over passing yards. I may be playing that. That's a great little number. But we love the defensive props tonight. We love Justin Fields. He'll probably throw an interception at some point, just because, you know, he's one to generally do that. But I'm trying to get the number right now. So it's minus 148 for him to throw an interception. Don't really love laying that big of a number. Sam Howell interception is even money. So
might hit that.
Is the Bears defense? Is the Bears defense going to pick him off?
He's capable of making a mistake like that, though. I mean, he is Sam Howell. Coming off that game, especially coming off that game last week.
I don't think he throws the ball a lot in this game, though. Like, I think that this is a very I think this is a very ground and pound game on both sides, yeah. Right? Even the Bears, they're going to want to run the ball early to try and establish the run. And then when that doesn't work out and they're down 14 touchdowns or 14 points at the end of the first quarter.
14 touchdowns, it's going to get ugly.
They're going to be scrambling. Yeah, it'll be 98-0. Yeah. That's 14 touchdowns.
Do you actually know that? Is that the math, really? Is it 98-0?
14 times 7, 98, yeah.
You were able to do that in your head just that quick?
Yeah.
I'm impressed. Wow.
Oh, thanks. Wait, is that... Well, now you got me second-guessing myself. Nah. Is that right?
Is it?
Yeah, it's 98.
Wow. I'm impressed. I couldn't have done that. That's Sam Yarnell. That's why we have him here every day. All right, we're coming back to wrap up the show. Sam's going bye-bye. I'll be bothering you later on text message.
We're coming with winners tomorrow.
We're coming back. Getting set to wrap up the show. If we're going to wrap it up, let's get you through some of the other headlines making news today. Joel Embiid's going to play for the United States in the 2024 Olympics. That is good news. Again, the world championships notwithstanding, where we're sending, you know, our B team, our C team. It's going to be a much different story when we get to the Olympics with who the United States is going to be sending for Team USA. Pat Fitzgerald, the former Northwestern head football coach, says he is suing his former employer at Northwestern University, $130 million for wrongful termination. Mel Tucker, the former Michigan State head football coach, is saying he has new evidence. Maybe he thinks it's going to exonerate him. I don't think it's going to matter. He's never going to coach there again. Everything we've seen so far certainly doesn't look good for him. Good news for the WNBA. They're putting a expansion team for the 2025 season in the Bay Area. Sounds like it'll play in San Francisco at Chase Center. Would have liked to have seen it in Oakland. Obviously, with that city being basically robbed of all its major league sports, the A's will be the last team to go. All right, enjoy the Thursday night football, everybody. We'll be back here on Friday for Paige versus the Prince, our Week 5 NFL picks. We'll have a full recap of Thursday night football as well. I'm Jason Page for Sam Yarnell. Thank you very much to Bob Nightingale, too, USA Today senior MLB writer. We'll see you all back here tomorrow.